This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Bills and Dolphins, Sunday at 1. Week 9 kicks off tonight with the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. Not the least relevant or interesting game to the Bills' future here in 2024. I don't know if the Jets still have enough time to get there or a good enough team. But they are favored, interestingly, at home against the 6-2 Texans who have now lost Stephon Diggs. Let's get into Sunday and then maybe also that. Catch up on the news with Sal Capaccio, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline. First, Sal, happy Halloween. I'm thinking it's an exciting night over there.
Yeah, it always is. We get into it a little bit. So we have some fun, and our neighborhood is really great. A couple streets over, we like to go over where there's just a whole bunch of kids and parents and houses that are really kind of done up, people outside waiting for the kids to come by. And we have some neighbors, some friends of ours live a few streets away who have a nice little party every year, some food and drinks, and we stop by there. So it should be a nice night tonight.
This very much sounds exactly like my existence when my kids were little. Same thing. So neighbors, the party, yep. The whole thing. Like, just is perfect. Yeah, so should be
love
fun.
It.
What's
love
Max
it, sure.
dressing up as this year?
You.
So he has this, I don't know the name of the character. There's some sort of, like, it's called Fall Guy or something, some game called Fall Guy or something. And there's all these different characters, and he's this huge inflatable. So he's literally, like, 7 feet tall. And it's this inflatable thing. And he won a costume contest at school the other day when we went because he wore this thing. And, like, there's pictures of him, and he's in the inflatable, and all his buddies are next to him, and they're just super small because they're, like, half his size, right? And he's this big inflatable dude. So you can't see him, but, you know, he won, which is great. And then Yana bought me and her and I, we are wearing skeleton pajamas. So the black pajamas with the skeleton outline, and that's what we'll be wearing tonight, and that glows in the dark.
Probably not a reference to the Fall Guy, the Lee Majors.
That's exactly what I was
crime
thinking.
Crime drama adventure series.
Wasn't the $6 million man the Fall Guy?
Lee Majors. That's the name of it. I'm not sure.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is. Heather Thomas.
Well, no, the show that we're talking about, Sal's suggesting maybe his thing is
Fall Guy. Sorry. I'm sure it's not the same. Whatever it is.
I'm pretty confident.
Something like that. I could have been wrong in the name. I thought that's what one of the kids called it or something. I'm not sure. I believe it is called Fall Guy. Yeah, there it is. And I'm looking at some of the images. I think that's it.
That sounds exciting. 7 feet. I'm into it.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
All right, let's start with the injuries, Sal. So Christian Benford, for me, is the most interesting, perhaps, development here. What do you know on that front?
Well, yeah, for sure. He went from a full participant to a limited participant today. So a lot of times you look and go, okay, what's that mean? Did he get hurt in practice? I will say, though, he was listed yesterday with the wrist injury.
Right.
So it's a wrist injury. That's what it is. And it's not like he just appeared today, right, in the injury report. A lot of times that happens, you're like, oh, man, something happened at practice. So it's very possible that he had some sort of setback, or it's just possible that they laid off him today at a more, maybe a more rigorous practice of some sort, right? That could be it as well. I will tell you, I saw him out there today. He was working with the DBs, and you know, there didn't seem to be anything I wouldn't have noticed because I wasn't looking for that necessarily. But you know, when you look at attendance, you look around, and you don't notice anything. But so we'll see more on tomorrow. But he was listed yesterday with a wrist injury. He just went from full to limited today.
And how do you have any sense of on Amari Cooper at this point? I saw some video that seemed to indicate his hand was at least, you know, there's a glove and some protective stuff there. But I also saw him catching passes with that. So, like, I don't know. I imagine he's probably being somewhat careful, and so are they with it. But, like, could a receiver, like, I know a DB, like Benford had a, didn't he play with a club at one point in his rookie year, maybe, I feel like? I don't know, that seems familiar to me. We've seen DBs do that. They get, you know, get through the game. They don't have to be able to catch. Obviously, a receiver is a different thing. I mean, catching is vital.
Yeah, for sure. He did do that a while back. And, you know, even remember we talked about maybe Taron Johnson could have wore something like that when he had, you know, his broken forearm. You know, I mean, like, if you're definitely on different positions, but, you know, a wrist injury for a wide receiver, you're not going to be able to play through unless, you know, you really are very comfortable with that. What I find interesting is he has not been wearing a red non-contact jersey either at practice, right? So as much as it seems like, you know, he's got it wrapped up and you want to be careful, yeah, he's been catching practices in the pre-practice portion. Didn't really see him do too much with Josh Allen, to be honest with you, when they went to more of the, you know, teamwork or quarterback wide receiver stuff. So, and there's a big difference between catching a lob from a coach than catching a fastball from Josh Allen, obviously. So it could be just maintaining. We'll see where it goes. I think obviously tomorrow we'll hear from Sean McDermott. He's going to join me in the Extra Point Show, and that'll be one of the big ones we'll be, you know, on the lookout for.
Wrist injuries to receivers, that would include Amari Cooper at this point. Is there anything new on him?
Yep.
That was who we just talked about.
That's what we were just talking about, right? Amari Cooper.
Sorry.
I think if you want to talk about Curtis Samuel, he did not have a
wrist
injury.
He's updating a fantasy lineup, and he missed that.
But is there?
Yes.
Since you were just talking, is there anything
nothing
new?
Nothing new since the last 5 seconds when I talked to Bulldog, no.
My apologies. Tyler Bass, Sal. So there was a roster move, I believe. The practice squad kicker who was brought in was let go. Has Bass, to put it one way, made it through the rain here? I mean, for a couple of weeks, it was maybe touch and go. He's been perfect since then. So what do you think that is?
Yeah, I really find it interesting on both fronts, actually. Releasing a player and bringing in a wide receiver again. We'll start with actually bringing in somebody, because does the re-addition of Deion Kane to the practice squad mean anything for Amari Cooper or Curtis Samuel's availability, right? You'd say, well, he's not going to play anyway. Well, yeah, but if you are trending towards having less guys available, especially two at a position, you might want to insure yourself with another guy to be able to practice and have enough reps for everybody. So does that mean that, does that mean something for their availability? You know, I thought, find that interesting. And then of course, maybe more interesting, obviously, would be the kicker. The Bills did, you know, release their kicker they signed to the practice squad, Lucas Haversick, maybe what, last week, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was that he got here. And Tyler Bass has been, let's see, was 6-for-6 a couple weeks ago against the Titans, and then last week
all buttoned up. Yep.
Five.
Yeah, again. As so you know, so I mean, obviously they feel pretty comfortable with him right now, and not gonna he's been kind of on watch here for the last couple of weeks, but all it takes, guys, to me, is a poor performance. Let's hope that doesn't happen. And if it does, we could be right back in the same spot, basically.
Oh, well,
and look, I think that could happen, too, right? Which is just because it's not like you're going to have Haversick kick this week. So let's just say Tyler Bass, unfortunately, has some, you know, game where you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. They could literally just add the practice squad guy back next week.
Sure. Yeah, right. And of course, if he does stumble this week, the crowd that thinks guys need someone breathing down their neck to be sharp will have their day. Because they brought the guy in. He hasn't missed since. Right? They brought this Haversick in after the Jet game, right? Bass missed a field goal and an extra point in that game. He's been perfect since. So now let him clang one off the upright against Miami and be like, see, he needs the pressure. I'm not right. Look, I'm putting on the voice there like I'm making fun of it, but I don't know. I mean, maybe there would be something to that. I don't know. But the receiver thing is more curious to me, Sal, because they've got Hamler, Shavers, Jalen Virgil already. on the practice squad as receivers. They could, you know, break glass in case of emergency. Need a fourth is pretty curious, I'd say.
Yeah, the other reason why, this is really one of those kind of deep into the weeds things that happens sometimes with teams, is sometimes they'll sign a player with a look ahead to a game coming up in a week or two that they want to have that player replicate someone on the other team, right? So if you have a receiver, let's say you're facing, maybe next week, Michael Pittman, let's say, Indianapolis, I don't know. And you say, you know what, this guy's skill set size is very similar, so let's sign him to the practice squad, because that's literally the job of the practice squad. The job of the practice squad is to simulate the other team. So the more closely you can resemble the other team, the better. Now, I'm not saying that's why they signed Deion Kane. He's a bigger bodied guy, but maybe coming up on their schedule, there's something they see down the road where they're thinking, let's get him in here now so we can do that. It could also be for insurance for next week, maybe. Hey, you know, we got a couple guys banged up. What if this bleeds into next week? Let's make sure we're just buttoned up where we have enough guys. There's definitely some things that, you know, you could kind of think about along with all of that. Interesting today, real quick, guys, too. Brandon Codrington, while we were out at practice, the punt and kick returner, he fielded a kickoff, and then as he took a few steps, he slipped. And when he fell down, he ran right into the back of Ray Davis. And they had a big collision, kind of. Well, luckily, Ray Davis got up, because it looked like, ooh, he might have taken the worst of it. But then Codrington actually laid down for quite a while. Trainers were tending to him. Sean McDermott went over there. And then he got up, he walked over, and they sat him down again, and they were working on what looked to be his right knee. Stability exercises, you're like, oh man, this really stinks for this kid. But then he got up and went back into the DB drills by the time we left, and then he is not on the injury report today with anything new. Or at least I think he is, but nothing new from yesterday. There was something, I got to look again, but he was... Because there's a lot of names. He showed up yesterday as a full participant and again today. There you go. Hip and knee today as well. Okay, so you know what? Yesterday was hip, and I think they added the knee today, but it's both as a full participant on both days.
Deion Kane was a Colt, but it was 5 years ago, so I'm guessing that has nothing to do with Sal's theory holds more water than mine possibly could. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Let's talk about Josh Allen here. So... with each week, without the turnovers, there's one interception. More and more people, I think, around the country that follow this stuff are noticing, like, that he's putting up a year where, by the way, Patrick Mahomes shares the league lead with 9, and Jordan Love is also at that number, and he hasn't even played all the games. You know, it sort of jumps off the page. Others are pointing out, too, and even Allen himself a couple of weeks ago sort of made fun of himself about it. I'm throwing interceptions, they're just not being caught. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear your analysis of how he's playing, just in terms of whether it's different or significantly different than even last year.
I don't think it's as different. I do think that there's still some plays in there that, you know, just by luck of the draw have gone his way. But I generally, and I don't break down every quarterback looking at it this way and know the numbers, I generally think every quarterback gets away with a few that the other team could have intercepted, right? It's probably pretty normal. Yeah, he had a couple. I think he had 2-1 game against Jacksonville, if I remember right. But, you know, they didn't hold on to it. But that happens in football. I feel like the offense overall is going to the shorter stuff, a little bit more underneath. But guys, this is what we talked about in March, right, in April, where it just seemed like they wanted to build this offense. They want to have guys catch the ball and then run after catch. And what I still remember Sean McDermott talking about this at the owners' meetings and combine both, where he said, you know, there's ways to get the ball down the field without throwing it over the top of the defense. You can get it to players and have them run. It works the same. And it's, you know, results is the same. And he even talked about those being explosive plays, just like throwing it over the defense is an explosive play. And I think this is the model they've wanted to go to. And that's what he's doing. His average length of completion on the year, if you just take just his completions, 19th in the league at 5.55. You compare that to last year. Where was he last year? He was 11th in the league, over 6 on his average completion. Like, this is clearly, to me, the difference. By the way, 2 years ago, 2nd in the league, 7.5 yards on just his completions. Clearly, to me, this is a design in the offense, which has helped Josh Allen not throw interceptions, but it's also just something they've wanted to do here because of the way defenses are trending now in the NFL and what they feel is best to go forward.
It'll be interesting to see how this game unfolds with that in mind, Sal. We were just talking a little bit ago. We both came across a note from Mina Kimes Hughes, who points out that Miami, you know, the shorter stuff, they're excellent at. Maybe third in the league, I think was the number I saw. But you get to downfield stuff, and they really struggle defending passes downfield.
Yeah, so this might be an opportunity for the Bills to test out that downfield passing game. I do think the Bills have gone downfield more lately. I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but just from the naked eye, you know, you guys can look at it if you want, but just from the naked eye, I do think that they've gone downfield a little bit more over the last few weeks, and I do think that's partly because Amari Cooper came in. I think Keon Coleman's a big thing for this, though. Like, it just feels like Josh is trusting him at all parts of the field. Last week, it felt like Josh was a little bit more willing to get out of the pocket and throw downfield. He even took off a couple of times. I think he's feeling better about the hand. Obviously, that would make sense for something like that. They had a couple designed runs for Josh last week. So I think that more of the playbook is being opened a little bit here because of the addition of Cooper, the growth of Coleman, and the, you know, hand of Josh Allen. And then you talk about the Miami Dolphins. Well, guess what? On top of that, it looks like your buddy Javon Holland's not going to play. I say that because I know you love watching him. You know, he's a fun player, right, Bulldog?
Yep, yep.
And I do, and I agree. He's a really fine player. But he has not practiced 2 days in a row. And I don't know if he's going to be available in this game. And Kader Kohou might not be available. Now, that's a guy the Bills have actually beaten pretty well anyway. And
right. You
might say you want him on the field because the Bills know how to beat him. Zach Sealer not practicing a second day in a row. They're not generating a pass rush. If Josh Allen can stand back there and have time, this might be a game, because it looks like the weather will be conducive for it, that maybe the Bills say, we're going to start going over the top a little bit. The question would be, who do you have to do that? Because of Amari Cooper with his situation and Curtis Samuel, you know, do you have the players that you want to be able to do that with?
You wonder, Sal, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how much more from the Bills can the Dolphins take with just, I mean, it really is incredible. Games where they needed to win and the Bills didn't, and they still get blown out. Home games, you know, this year the primetime game, last year how it ended, and it ends at the Bills' hands in their stadium. Close games, even the playoff game was close, but just it's 12 out of 13 that they've lost currently. And I wonder what you think psychologically that means to the Dolphins, because I could see guys being very different about it from each other, where some would be, you know, they wouldn't even necessarily know or think about how they've done against a certain opponent, and then others might obsess over it. And, you know, this starts with the quarterback.
I mean, it has to be in your head, right? It just has to. I can't imagine it's not. We're talking about it constantly. They're being reminded of it constantly. Their media is all over it. Like, man, this, like, what are you supposed to do against this team? This team's owned you. And they write about it a lot. It's always right there. And there's got to be some sort of schematic reason as well. And whatever Sean McDermott's doing against Mike McDaniel's offense, their quarterback, you know, like you said, Tua, and him thinking just the style of play he has and what the Bills have, you know, for them. So no doubt. And you said what, 12 out of 13, Mike? Is that what it is?
Including playoffs. Yeah.
And that, and remember, the one game the Bills lost, they were almost in position to win the game. It was the hot game down in Miami.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And like, they it was a short-armed pass to Isaiah McKenzie. Like, the Bills were right there. So, you know, obviously the Dolphins came close last year. They had the Bills on the ropes. They blew the lead at the end of the game, at the end of the season. And then they come down to Week 18, and the Bills get a punt return that essentially sealed the game. The Bills pretty much beat them most of the game anyway, but scoreboard-wise, it came down to that. I think it has to be in their head in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, I can't imagine. Look, when the Bills were losing to the Patriots every year, twice a year, it didn't matter who the coach was for the Bills. It was just something we talked about all the time. And it was something players knew about all the time. And, yeah, they could say all they want. Well, you know, I wasn't here for that. But they're just getting reminded of it all the time. I remember then when Jordan Poyer signs with the Dolphins, and he said something of the effect of, this has been a team that basically when they get punched in the mouth, they don't respond. And I'm kind of here to change that a little bit. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said. Something along those lines. So there's got to be, even from the outside, you think they are like that. Like, you think, hey, we know what we do to this team. Let's get on them early, because they're going to feel that again.
Yeah, something else to maybe keep an eye on. Chris Brown made what I thought was an interesting observation, interesting enough for me to want to bring it to you and to our show here, talking with Steve Tasker earlier today on One Bills Live, how it appeared to him, looking at the game film of Miami's loss last week to Arizona, that as quickly as the ball almost always comes out as it is with Miami, that considering Tua's situation. He's just back from concussion. Yeah. It was his first game back. He felt the ball was coming out even faster. Like that was like McDaniel was consciously protecting him. And I wonder about that on two fronts. One, do you try to take a little more time this time and pay a price? Or if it's going to come out fast like that, can the Bills just kind of sit on some stuff?
Yeah, I wonder too. And I mean, it would be smart, right? Considering his, you know, situation. And I would get it from a game plan standpoint. If I'm Mike McDaniel, that makes sense. I would understand why they would want to do that. But sure, I think the Bills would understand that, want to do that. You know, he's also a smaller quarterback. Last week, you know, you saw that batted down pass right away. Look for hands to get up right away this week, guys. Like, as soon as that ball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All snap, Bills are getting their hands up. You get your hands up. Don't let them have passing lanes right away. Look for a couple batted passes. I think the Bills would love for that to happen. Get a couple batted passes. Maybe one of them winds up in the hands of a defender. Maybe you creep up on the wide receivers a little bit. You're a little closer. You don't even have to jam them, but you can. But you could be a little bit closer to them. And we talked about this in week two, you know, in possibly doing that. But if that's the case, for sure. Look, I think, though, that the path to the Dolphins getting an upset here, they have to run the ball, and they've been pretty good at it lately. The Dolphins have actually run the ball very well over the last few weeks. Jalen Wright's now fitting in. I'm reading a lot in Miami about how people want him to get much more of an opportunity. But, it, you know, you could insert name here, Raheem Mostert or Devon Achane. Like, they just have these certain types of running backs that fit their scheme. That's what they do well. And they've run the ball well. And I think that would take pressure off Tua. That would keep the Bills' offense off the field. To me, like, that's what they're going to want to do when they come in here.
So that 12 out of 13, the loss is that game in the heat that Sal mm-hmm. mentioned, and the Bills outgained Miami by 285 yards and still lost, which is amazing. Pretty crazy, especially without it being like a dramatic difference in turnovers. So I just did a quick stat head search, and I've got 12 games going back, at least maybe Super Bowl era, I think this would be, where that has happened, where a team outgained the other by as many as 285 yards and still lost the game. So it's unusual, to say the least, in NFL mm-hmm. history. The top, just, you're going to love it, maybe, hopefully. The top game on this list for this is a 2000 game between the Jets and the Ravens that the Ravens won 34-20, but were outgained 473-78. Now, that's just passing. 524-142. It was a difference of 382 yards, and the Jets lost by 14. Interception return, two punt return touchdowns, a safety.
Oh, man.
Testaverde, 36 for 69, 481. 69 passes, regulation time. And Dilfer, 11 for 25, 99.
I'm looking at it now. That was the final game of the regular season that year.
And that's
that was the last week.
That's their Super Bowl year. That's their famous 2000 Ravens. I mean, so their last game of the season, they won despite being outgained by 385. Oh, who do you like tonight, Sal?
Well, you're asking who would I pick, or who would I like to win for the Bills' purposes? Because I think that's an interesting debate. By the way, I put a poll out earlier today on X, and I mean I'm getting both. There are literally people, and this is when you know you have a good poll or a good question. Well, you're really dumb if you want the Jets to win, and then there's others. I can't believe anybody with a brain will want the Texans to win, right? Like, it's just the same thing. You get both ways. I think the Jets are going to win. I think the Jets win this game tonight. I think the Texans are a little bit – they're undermanned now. They're suffering some injuries here. They're going down the road on a short week. The Jets' backs are against the wall, but yet they have been for the last few weeks. I get it, but I just think this is a spot where I do think that – it doesn't mean that they're going to play great. I just think the Jets are going to win this game. And honestly, I go back and forth, too, about the what it's better for. I think that might be better for the Bills. I would just say this, though. The Jets' schedule, as the season gets longer, there are some opportunities for them. So if they just start to kind of feel a little bit better about themselves and win some games, you know, you don't really want that to snowball. That's right. The only thing.
Sorry about the Yankees last night, Sal. I mean, you got so much that went right. Cole, the start for Cole was great. Yeah. Judge homers early. Stanton, like, it's just all going. It's all there. And to have it unravel, that fifth inning had to be brutal. And then they have to lead back, too, and still could not find a way to force a game six.
Everything was – a lot went right, and then a lot went wrong in that inning, no doubt about it. You know, they've had times this year where the defense has failed them, and that just really snowballed on them in that particular inning. And look, I think that the Dodgers are the better team overall. I think that. I think they're a better roster. Yankees might have had even, you know, it might have better starting pitching, but, you know, it didn't necessarily work out early in this series. But I appreciate it. It's sports, right? It's sports, and that's what happens. It kind of stinks, but, you know, you move on, and now I guess you turn your attention to what's going to happen in the offseason because Soto is Soto's going to be a free agent, and that guy can almost name his price with any team.
Enjoy 27 pounds of candy. By the end of the evening.
All right, guys, you two have a great night.
All right, there you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
What's a good number there, actually? Poundage of candy. You want it to be a little bit heavy.
Yeah. 27 pounds would be a lot of candy. I bought a ton of candy. I'll bet it's 15 pounds tops.
One person. Yeah, I'm thinking in bowling ball terms.
Yeah.
A 15-pound bowling ball, it's a pretty good size.
That's a hearty bowling ball. Yeah.
Double that? I mean, I don't know. It's different. Yeah. I'm not walking around
the bag is the neighborhood. Your bag is breaking.
Yeah, that's right. The bag can't handle that.
There'd be real trouble there.
What is the quintessential Halloween drink? The definitive Halloween drink. You know, adult drink.
I feel like it's a stout.
Really?
Yeah. Like I don't eat chocolate a lot, like year round. I just don't. It's not like, oh, I gotta get a candy bar. Like, I'm not that guy. I wouldn't say I have a sweet tooth, right? But I'm sitting on the porch handing out the candy, and you know, there's you know all the big guys are there. Okay, your Snickers and your Milky Ways and your Reese's peanut butter cups and
you don't mess around.
The good chocolate candies. I don't want to. Hoppy IPA with that. I want a nice dark beer with that. That's what goes with that.
Beer wise, I think I'd agree, but overall, I'd say a spiked cider.
All right,
would be.
Yeah, I'm
it's 75 degrees isn't it? I mean,
yeah, I'm not going to try that hard though.
I don't think spiked cider. This Halloween is the same as most Halloweens. I mean, it's much warmer, so we'll have to mix it up.
We'll see. I hope the rain holds off. I heard that there's some rain in the area. That could put a damper on things, literally.
The definitive Halloween drink. Texans, Jets, Bills, Dolphins. We're here for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I think sometimes a player gets so consumed with lack of production and then maybe gets locked into, as your sentiment, trying to play even better defensively and trying to free him up to get him a few more opportunities and... You get him with a left-handed centerman that can get him the puck and possibly use his speed. So I think we're trying to get both him and Jack a little bit of a different look and see if it works and get us a little bit more offense and get both those guys going.
Lindy Ruff, I mean, they need it badly. team needs it, the players do, and it's been 10, 11 games.
That needed to be split up. Yeah, that was badly needed. I mean, I hope it gets Cousins going and they can get him back to center eventually, but I guess whatever works. I mean, if it works, maybe keep it together for a while, but he and Quinn together. Quinn, I don't think Quinn can skate. Maybe two leg injuries in 1 year, and he's just not all the way back. I'm not saying his career's over, but he's not the same player right now. And I think the hope I would have is that that's causing the two of them to struggle more than it's Cousins is just a disaster. They're already pot committed on Cousins, so they really need that. So I'm hoping that every Sabres fan who has an idea about how the salary cap works would be hoping that that's the case. Like, not to just say Quinn has to be, you know, put in the ditch, but give him some time. Maybe next year will be better, or even at some point this year he gets better. But Cousins, they need production out of Cousins.
It's all so eerily familiar, you know, the logic behind the big contracts the Sabres have given out usually has made sense to me. Not in every case, but Skinner made sense, I thought. Oposo in free agency going back, you know, these moves. And then Eichel at top dollar. The Sabres are disadvantaged. As time goes by, it gets worse. And so you've got players you, with good reason, identify at a very young age as being core pieces. Sign them. I mean, I think they've been right to do that. But the fear is that for some reason it changes. And here we are again with him. If it's not too early to talk like this, I have stretches where I think about Cousins and just how, like, what is going on? And I watch games looking for him. And this seems to always be like, what's happening right now? Like, why did you go that way? Just little decisions he's making, mostly on defense and his own end, that I just think, like, the guy's got to be so crossed up. And then offensively, you're getting zip. There was a stat today from Stathletes, I think it was, that he has 20 scoring chances this year without a goal, which is second in the league. By a lot. To Zach Hyman, by the way. But I don't know. Like, I don't even see chances as often as I want. I just sort of see, like, missed connections. And
he was leading the league in shots, literal shots on goal without a goal. Verhaeghe actually had that on him, but then he scored last week against the Rangers and got off the schneid. But Cousins still is on zero, so I imagine he still is the player in the league with the most shots on net without a goal. But yeah, the attempts too, the high danger chances and all that sort of stuff, he's had looks at it. He's been missing. So I don't know, like, that, hopefully that can just turn around. It, maybe he gets freed up being on a wing. Like, something's got to give there, because again, $7 million, and that is just not, it's you know, all of last year was a struggle, and this year started off the same.
And Benson, we're not anywhere yet this year, you know, different situation.
He's been out, yeah. I mean, he just finally skated today, Lindy said, I think. Pretty hard, he said. So maybe that's in the window coming back. But yeah, that's been nothing so far.
Three important young pieces to this whole idea just are not contributing for different reasons.
Yeah,
so far.
I mean, when we were thinking about this team sort of being all set, of course things change, but Paterka, Cousins, Quinn was your second line, and, you know, they made the move on Skinner. I respect the decision. I'm struggling with, especially, they should have known if Quinn was going to be compromised. I mean, they can do testing and to just count on that seems very risky, considering what it looks like now. And so you move Skinner out, you're counting on Quinn. Paterka takes Skinner's spot, so now that line is in, you know, the second line, which had been so good when this team sort of looked like they were going to blast off two seasons ago now, I know. But that looked like, wow, I've got this kid line of second line guys that's going to slot in real nice behind Thompson, Tuck, and Skinner. Now Paterka's up there, rightly so, and they're just nowhere on that second line right now. Just nowhere.
What do you think of Kulik? Not getting offense there either. Does he look to it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it's the question there is going to become, to me, the next move I'm making, if I can get Cousins stabilized, I might want to try, if he, and it works on the wing, I might want to try Kulik as a centerman. Or I want to try Kulik somewhere in place of Quinn. Like, if this doesn't get Quinn going, I don't know. I don't think it's going to, if my premise is correct, that his skating is compromised, I don't think it's going to happen. So my next move for him is to sit him down. Because I can't just roll him out there in a premium position and getting zeros. I mean, and now, you know, I don't know what which lines are going to be which. I guess we'll see who plays how much as we go here. But Quinn, I'm worried about his season at this point, really. Cousins, I feel like, is still there. And there's opportunity. He just isn't converting. Quinn, I just don't see doing anything. So again, I hope it's him that's dragging Cousins down more than the opposite. So Kulik, I think it Kulik's gonna have to get in and get a healthy opportunity, I would think, soon.
We were talking a few minutes ago about the definitive Halloween drink, and Bulldog went with a stout. I went with a spiked apple cider. It does seem a little bit too warm for ideal conditions for these beverages and on a typical Halloween, but it's 70 degrees out and just crazy. I got a tweet we both did from a listener named Tyler. You want to go either, he says, apple cider and tequila or a Boilermaker with a chocolate stout and a shot of Screwball. These are a lot of different drinks in one sentence. I'm not sure what I'm doing with, how do I break, I need a comma or some sort of a separator here.
Right.
So the Boilermaker is what?
Boilermaker is a chocolate stout with a Screwball. That's what that is.
Oh, okay.
Like a
Boilermaker. I never knew that.
A Boilermaker is like you drop a shot of whiskey into a glass of beer.
A beer. I never knew that.
I mean, if it's a Guinness, they call it an Irish car bomb, but it's the same concept. You just drop the shot glass right in the beer, and it sort of starts. You got to like drink it right away because it's starting to foam and make a mess.
To be efficient,
right?
So you better not wait.
Drop it in, go.
Yeah. Okay.
You get it all over your tie.
The stout's going to be,
if you wear ties,
8% at least.
Right. I don't need a shot of whiskey.
Screwball.
In there.
That's instant nausea for me. I mean, it wouldn't take 5 minutes for me to feel sick from that. Tequila with the apple cider. So that sent me to like Google recipes. I don't have a party going tonight, or else this would be something I'd want to make. If it's a Saturday, which it always should be, Halloween, but it's not. So I see bourbon. I see dark rum.
With cider, yeah.
The thing with bourbon, like that seems just my instinct is that would be a good fit, but you wouldn't want to use good bourbon. Right? And mix it with apple cider. Like you wouldn't, quote, waste the good stuff on that. Would you need the good stuff? I have been guilty of, just if I may.
I only have the good stuff, so I'm screwed.
You wouldn't do that, though?
Probably not.
Because of that?
No.
You want to drink it straight?
I would sooner just have a glass of bourbon.
Right. Me too. So I've gotten more and more into cooking, and if there's, sometimes there is, wine in the recipe, I'll use my cheapest wine in the house, or I'll buy one especially cheap. And it was really my wife who told me, I think she probably pointed me to somebody, you know, one of these celebrity chefs saying this, or she just knew it. Don't do that. You want it to taste
right,
like you want the wine to taste, you know?
Right.
So I still have a little bit, I don't want to use my best stuff.
Sure.
Apple cider. I'm putting cinnamon sticks in there and peppercorns. I'm not going into the Blantons here.
Yeah, no.
Or
no.
The Pappy.
Yeah.
I don't have any Pappy. You do. You have a stash?
No, but my wife, I very rarely shop for liquor. My wife mostly does that, and there's always something there, and it's not, you know, I've got like a go-to, you know, not the Blantons, not the like $90 a bottle stuff, but like mid-tier, I guess. And there's almost always a bottle of that. And what's there right now, I can't even remember. It's delicious. I'd never heard of it before, but I texted a picture of the bottle to one of my friends who's somewhat of a bourbon fan. And he was like, oh man, that's some good stuff.
Right, I have a little Basil Hayden, and I will sometimes on a free morning, like mid-morning with Premier League on, I've not got anything serious going for a while that day, put a little bit in the coffee. I'll do that. But I've got these cordials, too, that are kind of made for that. coffee, liqueur, and just different cream, like Bailey's, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just don't like it. All right. Well, have fun out there. Halloween, getting started. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog. We'll pick the game tonight next year on WGR.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Schopp and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Texans at Jets, Amazon Prime, Week 9. Tonight, I have the lead. We'll do our usual 5 picks tomorrow, but as far as tonight goes, as I've said over and over today, I'm on the Jets minus 2.5. I think the Texans could be in trouble.
I definitely feel that. That's how I felt about them all off season. Yeah, I thought they'd win their division, but I just don't believe, and I think they still will. I don't know if you're saying different there. Trouble, because that division is kind of shot. I mean, we'll see. Maybe Indianapolis with Flacco can get hot and run them down. I don't know. It's not insurmountable, right? They're 4-4.
It's 2 games. They've been swept by the Texans, okay, but it's 2 tough games.
Anyway, I'll take Houston for the sport of it, and because, you know, on brand, I don't believe in the Jets.
I know you don't.
I hate them.
We talked about tonight's game, the fact that the 2-6 Jets are favored and got all over Week 9 with Joe Ostrowski from BetQL. We'll talk to Joe, have that for you next year on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.